1 Samuel. We're going to chapter 16. Chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16. Tim is coming in with the vote here. We'll just take it right away. Thank you. So the vote is at 92.42%. I figured that out. So praise the Lord. We voted to bring in Caleb and Elise Gillespie for our assistant pastor. We look forward to those days ahead, trusting that the Lord will direct our steps and use him well among us in the days ahead. So good thing to rejoice in tonight. I wanted to take the time this evening to, in light of, and frankly, I contemplate, all right, what do I do if the vote is something different? I still think this message is for us tonight. Whether we were going to look at somebody else or continue to see and enjoy having Caleb here, I wanted to take the time for us again to consider what are the character qualities that God desires in the leadership that He chooses. David, King David, obviously, was just a normal, can I put it this way, a normal Joe, from actually a tribe that we knew from prophecy would one day have the lawgiver or the leader, not the lawgiver, I'm sorry, the leader, the king, come from. There had been some prophecies for Jacob in Genesis concerning that, but there hadn't been a lot of movement in that direction. You didn't know any more than that. Obviously, the first king of Israel, the whole nation, was who? Saul. What tribe was he from? Benjamin. Okay, all right. We're slow to think tonight, right? Benjamin. And so the normal process of things would be that Saul's son would become the next king. That was the norm of the Eastern culture at that time. You know, you have a king and his son would follow through. And so it didn't appear as though David would have any opportunity. He didn't know about it. Obviously, no one else knew about it. Then, obviously, Saul had some major struggles and issues. In fact, chapter 15 is his rebellion, where he disobeyed the Lord, would not annihilate the Amalekites. And so we're stuck in, really, in some respects, even historically, the spiritual limbo. The chosen leader that God had chosen, under, if I can put it this way, under the wishes of the nation of Israel. They had begged for a leader, and God and Samuel had warned them, but God said, I'll go ahead and give them a leader. Now he seems to be walking away from the Lord. And the picture is such that it's like, this is a dark day. And now God is going to, without any of what we might call human pressure, choose his next leader. And the story in 1 Samuel 16, the narrative is rather straightforward, and it seems like nothing major is said until you just stop and park on it a little bit, and then sit back and take the big picture of what happened after that. And the record of what David shared, and then what his son Solomon, the wisest man in all the earth, used by God to record for us the book of Proverbs, book of Song of Solomon, writes down even about his father and what he learned from his father. And we see that God distinctly had some things that he saw in David's life that he chose on purpose for a leader that would lead his people. I alluded to it this morning in our informational meeting. At the end of the day, I desire for an assistant pastor at Heritage Baptist Church to be a man who's godly. With a godly man, there can be much work accomplished for the Lord. His gifting and talent obviously need to fit a need, and we're obviously concerned about, in particular, the youth need here. And so, rightly so, we contemplate and look at that. But even more than his gifts and talents, first and foremost, is he walking with the Lord? And that really is following in a strong heritage of what God has done from Genesis. Okay, all the way through, chosen and picked men that would lead his people who were godly. Abraham, a godly man. Moses, weakest man in all the earth. numerous judges walked with God. We come to the Kings, and then we have both 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, all chronicling the histories, and their judgment is they either walked with God or they rebelled against God. The epitaph on their life history was always given by God. And were they a good king because they walked with God? Not because they had all these skills and talents, but because they walked with God. You walk into the New Testament, and what do we find? The leaders in the church were men that were godly. Let's pick even, can I put it this way, the lay leadership that was chosen by God through the work of the church. Acts chapter 6, the deacons. What was the character qualities of the deacons? That they were rich? Okay, no. All right. Oh, that was supposed to be funny. Never mind. Okay. No, they were men full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, godly men. And so, using just really this story of David to help us realize God wants His leaders, no matter what the institution is, and obviously the spiritual institution in this dispensation at this time is the local church, He wants those leaders to be godly men. Let's look and read, let's begin in verse number 6, 1 Samuel 16, verse number 6. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab. Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm jumping in the middle of the story. Samuel's come to Bethlehem, God sent him to Bethlehem, go offer a sacrifice there, and call Jesse and his sons, because I have chosen one of his sons to be the next king. And so Samuel comes, they offer the sacrifices, and he tells Jesse, would you bring your boys here, please? So that's where we're jumping in the story. So the boys come, verse 6. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So Eliab, the eldest son, he's starting at the eldest son, and Eliab looked kingly. Notice what God says in verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? The line has run out, and God hasn't chosen anybody, but God had already told Samuel he's got a son of Jesse there that he's wanting to choose. Samuel's getting a little concerned. What's going on here? And he said, this is Jesse speaking to Samuel, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down for the feast, for the meal, till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now, he had red hair and had freckles on his face. Okay, well, I'm interpreting a little bit there, right? Ruddy, he was red. It could mean red hair or have a red countenance color to his skin, which would have been a little unusual for an Israelite. All right, the Jews, as we even know them today, often very dark complected. All right, olive skin, dark hair. So there was something unique in his physical appearance, but he had a beautiful countenance. A very interesting. I'll talk about it maybe in a minute. Though Samuel was looking on the outside and he was hoping for someone that would look kingly. Well, this young man, David, still had a very beautiful countenance, and that's talking about his outward appearance, all right? And he was goodly to look to, it says. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went back to his home in Ramah. What does God want for a leader? What is God's choice for the men that he wants to use? Well, as we've already kind of pointed out in verse 7, God considers one who has a good heart. Three characteristics tonight. The first is he has a good heart. Back in verse 7, God says, I don't look on the countenance. That's not the most important thing. The outward appearance, the word countenance, The first countenance there in verse 7 is talking about his outward appearance. He doesn't look at how tall he is, all right? So tall, dark, and handsome don't necessarily equate to leaders. Now, let's not, I know for us in America, sometimes we push past that, but I will tell you that there is a natural instinct in our hearts that when there's a tall man, we have a tendency to respect him. That's okay, but that's a reality. So this is not really insignificant. In fact, if you would look over, if I can put it this way, in America, if you would see the heights of our presidents, from George Washington all the way to our current president, I don't know that there's a single, there might be one or two short men among them. Even back when nutrition wasn't as good as it is today, we're talking about men that were around 6 feet tall. All right, that was the typical height of our president. It's okay. It's a natural thing for us to have revere, to kind of hold in esteem tall people. My son-in-law, I pick on him a little bit, but Luis, all right, 6 whatever, 5 whatever, big guy. He walks into the room and he, by his presence, he doesn't have to say a word. Everyone pays attention to Luis. Now he takes full advantage of it. I mean, he can sell ice cream to an Eskimo. I know he can. I've watched him do those things. Amazing. So this is not insignificant for the Lord to point out. He says, Samuel, Samuel. Now consider who Samuel is. He's a man of God. He's a prophet who had walked with God, who was grieving over Saul and his sin. Of all people in the nation of Israel, wouldn't Samuel have a heart to look for the right man? And yet even Samuel was drawn to Eliab's height and good looks. And he had to be reminded, wait a second, Samuel, that's not the most important thing in life. You see, I can consider, and so he goes on, verse 7, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Don't, again, miss that statement. God sees far better than we do. He sees us all, inside and out. For man looketh on the outward appearance. We see the word outward appearance here is we see the sight of things. We see the face of someone. Our eyes cannot take us inside where the real person is. But God is there. But the Lord looketh on the heart. He knows reality. Nothing is hid from the Lord. And he knew that Eliab was not the man he was looking for. God wants someone whose heart is after the Lord. And so Eliab was rejected. He was refused. No, that's not the one. We'll find out later in the battle with Goliath that David's oldest brother, Eliab, had a mockery of what God was doing in David's life. Good thing God was choosing. Does that make sense to you? Good thing God was choosing here. Or we'd have had another heartache with a leader, okay? Now, let's go, keep your finger here, but I want a parallel passage. Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles. So 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. We're in 1 Chronicles, right at the end of the book, chapter 28. And now God again gives an evaluation of David's life. This is near the end of his life. His life hasn't been completed yet. And God is going to speak through David to his son Solomon, all right? 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord, the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Why? For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Now that's serious business. David had taken to heart why God had chosen him, and he kept himself humbly before the Lord, realizing God sees me inside and out. At this point, the sin with Bathsheba is already completed. He's repented, he's come back to the Lord, and God has restored him. What joy! And he's reminding Solomon, Solomon, follow the Lord. He knows your heart. So he goes on at the end of verse 9 here. If thou seek him, he will be found. He'll be discovered of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. He will the word cast thee off, reject thee. Eliab, remember back in our passage, was rejected. I have refused him. David giving a solemn warning to his son Solomon. Listen, son, seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if you do not, God knows. And he will reject your leadership over your of God's people. Let us be careful. Make sure that we choose and that we want people to serve who will have good hearts. Maybe just a couple thoughts. Obviously, know God intimately. That's a part of the knowledge of God in our life. Him knowing us and we knowing him. And serve God passionately. He was telling Solomon here to be perfect and willing. All right, he has a willing heart. Perfect, a heart that's complete and full in every area, knowing that he's following and obeying God. And God wants us to serve that same way as well. So God considers and chooses those who have a good heart. As we run back to our passage, 1 Samuel chapter 16, go down to verse number 11. God chooses one with a good heart. God chooses one with a humble spirit. With a humble spirit. Down in verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy sons? Are all thy children? He said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. The tone of this phrase is almost derogatory. Yeah, I've got one last boy. He's out there with the sheep, doing the dirty job, all right, taking care of the sheep. It was not necessarily an honorable position in the family, and so therefore the youngest son had the duty. It worked in my house with the older boys, all right? Somehow Daniel ended up with doing all the, what we called poop patrol at our house with all the dogs, all right? It was Daniel's job, all right? And same thing here, all right? Let the young guy take care of it, all right? David said, I've worked, my son David, you know, I'm past this now, Dad, I'm older, and Daniel ended up doing it faithfully, all right? Same thing in this family. David, the youngest, old enough now to care for the sheep, all the other guys were smarter, wiser for that. And so really, Dad is almost saying, well, yeah, I do have a son out there. He wasn't, in Dad's eyes, wasn't even worth bringing in before Samuel. Isn't that something? And so what happens, obviously, Samuel calls and they bring him in. David never forgot who he was. He was just a humble shepherd boy. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. But think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Be aware of what God is using you for and doing with you and so forth. But don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Let's go with me. Keep your finger here, but go with me to give, again, some support for this. 2 Samuel. Go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. One of the critical passages in the Old Testament, this is the Davidic covenant, all right? So this is the covenant that God is now going to make with David of an eternal king that comes from his line. Could you imagine again, David, the humble shepherd, who the king before him had been thrust out by God because of his sin. David lives in fear and trepidation of this God. And now God is going to come to him and say, David, I'm going to give you a line that will be eternal. Astounding. So, verse 8, 2 Samuel 7, verse number 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say to my servant David. This is Nathan the prophet, God speaking to Nathan the prophet, who then relays it to David. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. You see, God reminding David of where he was from. David, who are you? You're just a humble shepherd. But look what David says after God has promised. And I'm not going to read the rest of the passage. And he tells him, I will build you a house. I will build you a name. Your son, one day, one of your sons, will sit on the throne of the nation of Israel forever. Talking about Jesus Christ. Wonderful prophecy. David is abundantly moved. So look at verse 18. Then went the king David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto, that you would give me this promise? I am no better than anybody else, is what David was saying. David understood that he was insignificant. He was just doing what God had given him to do. He was not somehow better than any other individual before the Lord. As we interact and work with Caleb, but even among ourselves, let us not forget that God wants us to always have a humble spirit. None of us before the Lord are better than another. All of us are cherished and valued by God for specific roles and tasks. Every one of us. I said hello to Dave Salverson tonight as we walked in. And I thanked him for the work that he does. He helps out in the back, and you see him, he's locking the doors and then getting things open. He's quick to get, you know, help you ladies out the door if the storm's on. And he just commented, just, well, it takes all kinds to help, every one of us has a part. Absolutely, all of us do. And none of us should try to do somebody else's part, all right? Let them do the gift that God has given them. And that's what David understood. Who am I? Why would you speak of my children one day that will build a house for my honor and glory? We find out, Ezekiel talks about David again sitting on the throne. Bible scholars wonder, from Ezekiel chapter 40 and on, will David actually kind of be a sub-king under Jesus Christ, his son, or is it just speaking figuratively of his son, Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne? In my opinion, humble opinion, all right, is probably David will be a great king under Jesus Christ during the millennial kingdom. His name is mentioned directly in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 there. Very interesting. God honoring this humble servant who knew his place and always wanted God to be glorified. A couple of proverbs written by David's son that I think we should turn to. Go with me to Proverbs 18 real quick. Proverbs 18. After the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs 18. Before destruction, verse 12, I'm sorry, I didn't mention that, I don't think. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. So he's giving us the consequences in this wonderful little phrase poem, all right? And he's looking at destruction and he's looking at honor, set kind of opposite each other. And what leads to destruction? A haughty spirit. What leads to honor? Honor ultimately before the Lord is the idea here. A humble spirit. One who knows his place and serves his God faithfully. It's not about him, it's about his God. David's son, recognized that, saw it as probably in his own father. Recorded it for us under inspiration here. Let us be found humbly walking with our God. Go over to chapter 29 of Proverbs. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. This is kind of turning what we just read in the other direction. Now the focus is on pride. All right? A man's pride shall bring him low. He puts himself forward. He thinks he's something. It'll always bring to his destruction. He is not willing to admit his downfalls and his errors and his struggles. The things that he has a propensity to do wrong, yeah, it brings him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. God desires to uphold those who humbly obey and follow and walk with Him. Like David. David seemed to not overall in the general course of his life forget that he was just a shepherd boy. Not the oldest in his family, not in a place of honor. He was the youngest boy. And yet God had chosen to use him. And he rejoiced in his great God. So, God chooses those who have a good heart. God chooses those with a humble spirit. And then as we go back to our text again in verse number 11 of chapter 16, you might want to keep your finger in Proverbs if you still got it there because we're coming back to Proverbs, all right? But chapter 16, verse 11 of 1 Samuel. Notice where they find David. Are all your sons here? No, there's one out there with the sheep still. Well, believe me, he wasn't sleeping with the sheep. It's not like this was playtime. He was out there doing some work. God loves to choose those with calloused hands. I'm using a figure of speech here, but all right. Good heart, humble spirit, calloused hands. You see, David was showing that he was a worker and that he was faithful to what his father, talking about his earthly father, had asked him to do. I would guess that David probably had heard something was going on, but it was his duty to remain with the sheep. Ever been in a spot where you wish you were someplace else at that time? Like, nah, I don't want to do this. You're locked in because of a work responsibility or whatever. And God wants us to be found faithful. One of the things, again, that I've been encouraged as I've watched and observed in Caleb's life, not over years and years, but through testimony of others and so forth that I've shared, he's been found faithful, taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives him and faithfully serving. For him to take on the task at Maranatha of working on the grounds crew after he's led an ensemble, which would be an honorable place among the student body, spoke to my heart, was a challenge. That's good. He knows he needs to provide for his wife, for his needs. The job was available to just to drive the lawnmower, to shovel the snow. And he jumped in, willing to work hard to meet the needs. I like that. There's a sense about him from the testimony of those that have been around him at Maranatha was that you can count on him. He's faithful. May that be true of us. May we be found faithful and diligent in the work that God has given us. David was faithfully with the sheep. Guess what happens? And you know the rest of the story. David gets anointed king. What would happen if you got anointed king? Now listen up. Because remember, this is a king. A king can say and it's done. You understand how that works? Now I realize he was anointed the next king. There was a king on the throne. I understand that. But could there be a tendency on David's part to say, hey, big brother, come here. I'm going to be your king. You better listen to me now. No, what did David end up doing? He's discovered again back with the sheep. Eliab's off and his brothers are off fighting the great wars. Honorable role and position. They're out there to fight the Philistines. Conquer for God's sake. And yet they're all a bunch of scaredy cats. Yeah, I'm tickling Melody's heart today. That's okay, Melody. All right. All right. They're all a bunch of scaredy cats. And then there's a young man that I think can come help us. David hears and says, I can go fight him. I've fought a bear. I fought a lion. And the Lord has helped me. He's back doing the faithful work that God had called him to do. I'm again reminded several times as we walk through David's life, twice he had opportunities to slay his arch enemy, Saul. His soldiers were there. Do it. It's an okay thing. He's after your life. You're doing this out of self-defense. There was every reason in the book, if I can put it that way, for David to take out Saul. And he would not. His humble heart and his willingness to stay at his station, calloused hands, until God put him in the right place. He said, you will not. God will take care of Saul. That's not my job. Isn't that amazing? What a sweet testimony. Did David one time in his life take something into his hands? Yeah, he did. In his worst sin, if I can put that, at least worse from a human perspective, took out Uriah with the sword of Ammon, had Bathsheba, and God rebuked him, and he repented of his sin, praise God. And he walked with God from then on. Another sin, when his heart got full of pride. He wanted to number the people. Joab, his general, said, don't! May God prosper Israel way beyond what he's done, but don't sin against the Lord in exalting yourself, David. Instead of being a laborer in the work, he sits back and sends out Joab and the men. Job was so sick of it, he never even counted the tribe of Benjamin. Just came home after 11 tribes were counted. And then God again convicts David, and David repents, though there was a great judgment. Believer, let us, like David, understand that God is looking for a good heart with a humble spirit with callous hands. May we be found faithful in our work. Let me make this point as we consider our own ministry here. As the Lord allows us to bring on an assistant pastor, praise the Lord, there will be work for him to do. But does that mean we should quit what we're doing? Please don't. There's a lot of work to be done around here. Caleb is not the answer to all of our work problems here. We must each have calloused hands in the work. What has God given you to do around this ministry? Stay at it. Stay faithful. So, let us conclude back in the book of Proverbs. Go with me to Proverbs 22 tonight. Proverbs 22. Verse number 29. Seest thou a man, Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Obscure men. Surly, potentially, would be a possibility there, as I recall. God wants us, and God is promoting here in this proverb, for us to be diligent. And the word diligent is a rich term. Yes, it talks about the speed at which we do things. It can be, have the idea of being quick and prompt, on time, if I can put it that way. But its richness and fullness talks about being very skilled and ready, able to do the work. The word business is talking about your occupation or your work or the service that God has called you to do. We like in the workforce people that are diligent, are skilled and ready to do their labor. We've hired people to do work around the facility. We try to find good workers, not ones that will cut corners and cheat on us. All right? That's what we desire. God wants the same thing. May we be found diligent and faithful, skilled and ready. Let me encourage you folks. It's a character of God that He wants in our life, that we continue to grow in our skills and abilities that He's given us. What has God gifted you to do? Some of you, let's talk about Sunday school teachers for a minute. Let's pick on them for a minute. Sunday school teachers, don't get in a rut. Do the same old routine. Have you ever thought about how can I enhance my ability to communicate God's Word in my classroom? What can I study? Maybe where I can find some encouragement. With the proliferation of technology today, you don't even have to go to a conference anymore. You can just bring it up on the internet, all right? Find the YouTube channel on being a better teacher. And I don't know if there's one called that, but there probably is, all right? Those things where you can grow and develop. I will tell you, I get tired of schooling, but I know it's good for me. Seriously, it hopefully sharpens and hones my skills so I can be a better pastor for you. Those of you with musical skills, don't give up practicing. I remember, do you know the flautist or the flutist, James Galloway? Sir James Galloway, all right, nice silver beard, maybe you don't know, anyways, older gentleman at this point. He talks about in his biography, or maybe it was an interview, he's amazing on the flute. And you listen to him play some of these classical pieces, and he's like all over the place, and every pitch is exactly on, and the tone is just round and rich, all those things. Making a flute, I mean, it sounds funny to us to have a man playing a flute, but boy, he can play that flute and just go at it. Well, one day he realized, you know what? I'm doing so many performances. I'm out in front all the time doing all these concerts. I can't do my scales like I used to. He was losing some of his skill. People at that level practice literally hours a day. Even in their old age, they continue to do it. It's amazing. And so he went back and he's really, I'm going to lose it. There's going to be a day where I won't be able to play well because I've forgotten the foundation, those skills. So he continues to enhance. Believer, let us, in our work, not be content. Can I use maybe a sad analogy to help us? But but I hope it's picturesque to help us understand. May we, with our spiritual skills, not become senile with them. As we grow in our service for the Lord, may our ministry continue to expand and not diminish, become less. What has God given you to do? Well, continue to enhance and grow in it. David was diligent in his work, and so he ends his kingship, though with some challenges there, a rebellion and so forth, ends it gloriously. He walked with God, grew with his God all through his reign. May we be found faithful in our work as well. Don't sit back. Can I put it this way? There's no retirement in God's spiritual plans. God wants us in every station of life. Oh, things may change. I understand that. Things have changed for me. I am, frankly, at times glad I'm not a youth pastor anymore. The body thanks me. There's no appeal to me to have an all-nighter ever again. There's just no appeal there. And if I never ride another roller coaster ride, I'm not going to cry about it. Okay. But there are other things that God has designed and wants me to do. And same for you. Let us be diligent. Let us have calloused hands in the work of God. I trust that we will find these true in Caleb's life and that we'll help him, Pastor Caleb, to be a man of a good heart, humble spirit, and calloused hands. But may we, as God's people, be found with those same characteristics in our life too. That's who God chooses. That's who God wants. How's your heart tonight? Is it right with the Lord? God sees it. How's your spirit tonight? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Know where you're from. Know what God is doing. What do your hands look like tonight? Your spiritual hands. Are they calloused in the service of the Lord? Or do they not have much callous? Let's be about serving our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I meant this to be an encouragement to hearts tonight. I hope it is. As we contemplate the Gillespies joining us now, thank you so much for a sweet spirit among your people. We accept the direction of your people and God's will in this. I pray that you would help us, Father, to help the Gillespies grow in Christ as we minister and mentor them. May they help us as well to grow in Christ. May each of us be found in the character of King David, who at the moment that we read the scriptures tonight in 1 Samuel 16 was just a shepherd boy, the youngest one at that, really somewhat disdained by his family. And yet you found in him something that was truly valuable, a good heart, a humble spirit, calloused hands. Lord, may we be faithful in walking with you, knowing our place, serving you with all of our heart. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe God's word tonight has challenged your heart, believer, and you'd say, Pastor, one of these three points about having a good heart, a humble spirit, calloused hands, have pricked me, and the Spirit of God has challenged me in an area that I need to take some steps of growth in. Pastor, would you pray for me right now that God would help me to take those steps, that I wouldn't fail at growing in those areas? Is that a need in your life? I realize I'm touching all three of the points tonight. But say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God's Spirit is working. I need to grow. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Good. Anybody else? Yes. Are you here tonight without Jesus Christ? I believe I know most of you, and yet I don't want to ever miss the opportunity to offer salvation. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you come to Christ tonight? You say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Jesus is not my Savior yet, and I want Him to be. Could I pray for you right now? To just encourage your heart and say, Pastor, that's my need tonight. With a quiet, upraised hand, you say, Pastor, please pray for me. Anyone at all. Lord, I pray that you would take your word and help us to grow. Lord, these character qualities that you found in David's life are things that you want to see in our lives as well, and so help us to be faithful to that. May we not disappoint you. May our hearts not turn away from you. May we, Lord, we always have a humble spirit before you, honoring you, serving you well, knowing our place. And Lord, help us to serve you diligently with what you've given us. Not something we don't have, but with what you've given us, may we serve you faithfully. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand, and as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, opportunity for you to respond to God's work in your heart. If you need to come and spend some time in prayer, please do. Again, if you need someone to encourage or help you, come catch my hand. We'll get you connected so that you can spend some time in prayer. So as the pianist plays through the invitation hymn, we're humming along. If God's working your heart, you come.